start off with Colossians, actually. Colossians chapter 2. That's right after Philippians. Right. And, you know, I was thinking about the season coming up, and this is a little challenging, I guess, but I was thinking of the title, Who Stole My Gift, since Christmas is coming up. And it's kind of a... Well, we'll see how as we go on, and I thought that would be a good title. So we get caught up in the Christmas gift giving, but we haven't ever really questioned what really goes on at this time. We don't really, as believers, and you can answer this for yourself. This time of year, we get caught up in the hype of Christmas. We don't really think about the Lord. We don't think of, you know, they say this is the reason for the season, but I began to think about myself. When was the last time I actually thought about the Lord, even prior to realizing what this was all about? When I was younger, a younger saint, did I even think about the Lord when I was giving gifts and going through the activity? And I had to say no. I didn't really think about it. I didn't really talk to the people that we were involved with. I didn't talk to them about the Lord. So you begin to, you get caught up with the activity. And you really do lose sight of the real, as they say, the real meaning of Christmas, which that's not the real meaning of Christmas. But anyway, so I looked at this in Colossians chapter 2. He says this in verse 3. Says, in whom, that's in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And the next verse says, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You know, it goes on to talk about some other things. But the verse says, beware lest any man spoil you. And James and I, we were talking about that one day last week, is that spoil you means to rob you. To rob you of the riches and the joy that you have in Christ. That's why I said the title would be, Who Stole My Gift? Because at this time, how many people really think about what they have in Christ?
I do every morning when I get up.
So, and you think, which is good.
That's what y'all taught me.
That's good. And that's what he says, holding the truth, holding this with thanksgiving. Being rooted and grounded in the faith with thanksgiving. It should be every day. Like I say, every day should be Christmas for us. But how many of us really think about that? And what we've become is hostages of tradition. Where they begin to, like James said, get your hand out of my pocket. They begin to rob us slowly of our joy in Christ. Now, just a few things. I want to show you how subtle this is, how it just eases up on you. Look back in Judges for a moment, chapter 17. Now, this is, the scripture says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, right? And we know that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for teaching, for doctrine, that God wants to tell us something, for doctrine, for reproof, that God wants to show us that some of the things we do are wrong. Reproof. For correction, God wants to show us how to get those things right. For instruction in righteousness, He'll show us what He wants us to do. After we've saw the error and corrected it and found out what we need to do, He says, I'll even show you how to get it done. So we're going to use some of these scriptures to take a look at this. In Judges chapter 17, here's a man named Micaiah. In let's start at verse 4. Well, I'll tell you what, let's start at verse 1. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micaiah, and he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. So here's a man that he actually stole money from his mother to make an image. And she says, well, that's what I had the money for too, was to make an image and a molten image. And he says, verse 4, yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micaiah. And the man Micaiah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's, you can see that God had chosen the nation to be a light to the people, to the world. And they had began to, one of the first things God said to them was, thou shalt have what?
No God before me.
And what they did was they began to slowly creep into idolatry. Little by little, the things that God told them not to do, they did. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little leaven. Leaven the whole lump. So before you know it, here they are. They give up God for a king, and then they give up the king. And they do everything, whatever they feel like. There's no authority in Israel at this time. So what, here's a man, he makes him an ephod. An ephod is what they used to, the priest used it to hear from God. It was a device that revealed the word of God to the priest. Well, this man, he's a Levite, but he's not functioning in the priest office. He's in idolatry. He makes his own ephod. And he has a house of gods. Not just the ephod, he has a house of gods. And look at chapter 18, verse 14. Try to cut out some of this for reading's sake. And you can read the story on your own. What happens is this man, he actually sees a Levite coming through his area. And he calls him to the side, and he asks him, verse 19. He says, and they say unto him, hold. Well, that's not where I want to start. Let's see.
Let's look at verse 18, well, verse 1. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and in those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day, all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor from Zorah and from Eshtal, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go search the land. Who, when they came to Ephraim, to the house where of Micaiah, they lodged there. When they were by the house of Micaiah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned in hither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place, and what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micaiah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. What Micaiah had did was taking this Levite to be his priest. What he's doing is setting up his own worship in his house. He's got him a priest. He's got him an ephod. He's got his own religion. Getting started right there. So this other tribe comes by and they says, "What? We recognize his voice. What are you doing in here?" And he says, "Well, he just hired me and I'm his priest, and this is how we working it out. He's giving me 1,000 pieces of silver a year to be his priest." So they said, look what the Danites do. Instead of correcting him, they do this. Verse 5. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, Go in peace before the Lord is your way wherein you go. Then the 5 men departed and came to Laish and saw the people there that were, how they dealt careless after the manner of the Zidonians. Let's look at verse. It's not. We don't need that. Look at verse. Drop down to verse 18. Verse 18 says, and these went in to Micaiah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, what do ye? And they said unto him, hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. It is better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel. And the priest's heart was glad. And he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. So what they did was they've taken Micaiah's priest and his ephod and some of his idols. They've taken it for themselves. And they've gone off and they said this, Is it better for you to be one man's priest or to be a priest to the whole tribe? And the priest says, that sounds good to me. Now, what I want you to do is, well, we're just looking at how just tradition creeps in, how religion creeps in. These people are in total rebellion against God. Not only this one man has set up his house of idols, then you have another man, another tribe who comes along and then takes that priest to be their priest. Like they say, they jump out of the frying pan into the fire. You understand what's going on? Okay, now, verse 21. So they turned and departed and put the little ones and the cattle in the carriages before them. And when they were a good way from the house of Micaiah, the men that were in the houses near to Micaiah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micaiah, what aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? Well, he's going back to get his idols and his priest. He's not going to let them take it without protesting. Listen. Micaiah's not going to let them take his religion without protesting. You get it? We're going to put up a fight about this. And he says this, verse 23. They said, "What aileth thee? What's the matter? What's the problem that thou comest with such a company?" And he said, "Ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and are gone away." And this, look at what he thinks about this. And he says this, "And what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me, what aileth thee?" He says, "You took my God. You took my priest. What else do I have? What do I have left? And you ask me what's wrong? You've taken everything that I believe in." So you look at this as an example. Like I said, whatsoever things are written aforetime or written for our learning. Where you see, when you turn away from God, you have to pick up. You have to pick up something that you put your faith in, your trust in, your hopes in. And when somebody begins to tamper with that, then it begins to ail you. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, that was an example of how this thing started. Back here. The same thing happens in with the children of Israel. When God brought them out of Egypt, he brought them out of a land that was full of gods to serve the living and true God. And the moment they go up to get instructions, Moses goes up to get instructions, what happens? Before he even gets down, they made a golden calf. And he says, pluck off your earrings and your gold. Now watch what they got. The scripture said when they came out of Egypt, they spoiled the Egyptians. Well, they had took all those valuables. Guess what those valuables were for? For the tabernacle. That was for them to make a house for God. And Aaron said this, "Pluck them off, give them to me." We don't know what happened to Moses. And Moses was Aaron's brother. So they take all those jewels, all the jewelry, Aaron puts it in the fire, and he forms his calf, golden calf. Yes?
Was Aaron a little reluctant about doing that?
Well, let's see. Look at Exodus. Look at Exodus 32. Exodus 32, verse 1.
And Aaron was the one that was accompanied him with Pharaoh and saw all this stuff the Lord did. And
listen, he was partaker. He was a partaker of that.
Well, so he was another guy that been pushed.
Another what?
Yeah, another.
Oh,
Egyptian. I think about the movie.
That was
exactly right.
So he says in 32, he says, "And when the people saw Moses delayed, when the people saw Moses delayed to come out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this man, as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not, or know not, what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, I can't do this thing." But he didn't even, and Roy said, did he hesitate? Is that hesitation, Roy? He says,
Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and your daughters, and bring them unto me.
Sound like he'd been thinking about it for a while.
Oh, like hesitation.
No hesitation there. He says, and all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now, that is, he fashioned it. That means he molded it into a calf. Wonder where he got the idea for a calf from. It was, that's where they had just came from, out of Egypt. You know what? Egypt had many gods, and one of their gods, Frank was almost right, one of their gods was a bull. Right. And it was actually a lady. It was a lady who the face was something like this. It's the face of a woman. I'm not going to draw the face. But she had the horns of a calf on her head with a round spear on the, in the middle of it. I can't think of her name right now. But she was the goddess of love, music, and dance. No, that's not it.
Well, Osiris was,
but we, this is what happened, though. Look, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord, right? Now, look at verse 16. And the tables were the work of God. This is after he gets the law. The tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the what? And the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot as he cast the tables out of his hand and broke them beneath the mountain. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire, and ground it into powder, and strewed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink it. Now, this one scripture says this. The children, they sat down to eat and drink, but they rose up to play. So they started off as, they said, this is a feast to the Lord. And it was the Lord that they were thinking about. Because the Lord that they were, the Lord that Aaron even fashioned, was the Lord of singing, dancing, and revelry. And so they were right in accordance to the God that he fashioned it to. Not the God that Moses went up to get the commandments from. That's the history. You know, I think Will Durant said this. The only thing that men learn from history is that men never learn from history. But the Lord said this. He says, whatsoever things were written before time were written for our learning. He wants us to learn from these incidents. And what are we learning? Like the title says, who stole my gift? God's going up to give them instructions that would please him. And while he's away, they're getting new instructions.
From his brother.
Like Micaiah. Micaiah, he should have been a light, a priest. And this man has taken the what God had ordained for good, and he turned it into bad. Okay. Look at Exodus again. Genesis chapter chapter 4. And what I'm doing is just giving some examples of how things just suddenly creep in on us. Chapter 4. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 1. Says this. And when God created, we know this, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. When God created the heaven and the earth in the beginning, He created it for what? For signs, for seasons, for days, for years. In those, I think Psalms 19 says this, the heavens declare the handiwork of God and His wisdom and His knowledge. And I think this at this time of year, where the whole thing really centers around, they talk about Christmas, even the date, they say He was born on the 25th of Christmas.
25th of December.
What did I say?
Christmas.
Oh, 25th of December. That's not true. That's right. But it's 2012. And look how long we've been saying it for thousands of years. Why are we doing that? He says, look, this is for signs, for days. This Deuteronomy says this. He says, there was some information that's in the handiwork that God had put in there. So he says this, don't worship them. When you see the wisdom that's up there, you will be driven to worship them. And he told the children of Israel, don't do it. He said, why are you saying that, Frank? Because right now, you can pick up the paper, our newspaper, flip to the back, find your horoscope, and it'll tell you what. What kind of day you're going to have, what kind of month you're going to have, what kind of year you're going to have, and it's all based on what? The stars. The stars. Stars and the planets. The host of heaven, like God says, don't look up there and worship them. And what do? We look up there and worship. Now, how many people say this? God's got your horoscope, Jerry. God's not even in the picture. Is he? How many times have you seen the psychic say, this is God's word to you? We've taken the information that God gave, or things that God gave for good, and we've made it into profitable, into idols.
Right.
Into idols. And you say this again, who stole my gift? Because that was for, if the creation, if God had revealed in creation, look at Romans chapter 1. If God had revealed in creation what, if it had stayed intact, we would be so excited. You know what? I can't even say that, because what he revealed in creation is now in this book we have, in these pages. And we don't get too excited about the Word of God. So I couldn't say that we would get excited about that. But if we knew what was in there, probably, Frank. He said this, Romans chapter 1. says, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves become wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God unto an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Now, this is not that class, but the heavens declare God's handiwork. The heavens declared a plan. And what we did, man did, was instead of looking up there and seeing how great God, the Creator, is, they took it and began to worship it. So they put God on the back shelf and put the creation on the front, and then began to use it, like you said, for their own good. After a while, where's God in that? They don't even acknowledge him. So now, even today, look how far this goes. Today, we don't say God created the world, do we? We say what? It was a big bang. It was a big bang, and here we are. So you say, again, you look at it and say, well, who stole my gift? These are things that God has given to us to declare himself. When the children of Israel sinned, back in Moses, even in another part of Moses' day, he told them that all who want to be healed, he put a brazen serpent on a pole.
Right.
You remember that?
Yep.
And he says, all who want to be healed, just look on that serpent and you'll live. Do you know, years later, they had that thing, and guess what they were doing? They were worshiping it. They were worshiping it. And they had to get that thing. Josiah got it. And he took it and break it into pieces. And you know what he called it? He called it Nehushtan. Nehushtan. You know what that means? A piece of brass. That's what it means. That's all it was. It had no significance at all. He called it for what it was. He said, what you have is a piece of brass. It has nothing to do with God at all. He wasn't even using it anymore. What God had used for good, they turned to an idol. Nothing. Guess what?
There was no power in the object.
It was what God had prescribed for their good. Even the Ark of the Covenant. When God built the Ark, that Ark was a type of Christ. And when they took that Ark, they began to, even when they were sinning, God says, I'm not with you. But they said, go get the ark. Like it was a magic. Yeah, and they took that ark and they went up and they got beat. Because God, it wasn't the ark. It was the God behind the ark.
do we keep this in context of the grace of God moving forward now? How do we explain right here talking about his wrath of our sinful humanity?
This is where you lead up to it is when you say, you talk about who stole my gift, is this. Is you look back here and you see how people have exchanged the goodness of God for idols. And we're living in a time right now where Paul said this. He says, in Christ, we just read it, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Right? And he says, look, he says, this I'm telling you, beware. Be on the lookout, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain philosophy, and deceit, and the tradition of men. So, we're at a time, look at this. All the holidays that we participate in, they have pagan undertones, origins, right? It's a mixture. Do you think this is by accident?
Well, I've heard like the Christmas. What we celebrate now was an attempt to override the pagan celebration.
Right, like we do today. Says, well, we do this because Jesus is the real reason for the season. Right?
Yeah, that's what we say.
That's what we say. How long are we going to go for? My pastor used to say this. He would say, stand up on the table. And you get to, somebody stand on the table, and then he would say, now, you pull me up. It's much easier to be pulled down than for you to pull somebody up. And that's what, when you say, how do we put this into perspective?
No, I wasn't talking about that. I was actually talking about grace. It says right here that
well, he's using that, and this is a good example because he's showing you that the way they've done, they deserved it. But he's introducing, instead of wrath, he's introducing his grace.
Okay.
Now think about this. That's why I asked the question is, how many of us really, when we get involved in the activities, really have God in our mind when we go through this? And only reason I'm saying this is just a reminder. Is how many of us really have God in our mind, or even what Christ, the thing that Christ told us to observe was what? His death. Right? His death, burial, and resurrection. Right, it's now because we've infiltrated so much, because this, once you open the floodgate for religion, then all religions get in.
Right.
So now you don't even say what you started out with. You don't say Merry Christmas anymore because, well, you offend this other guy who I don't believe in Christ. Well, now you got to say happy. You got to say happy holidays now. You see what I'm saying? The thing is, the ball keeps rolling, because once you open the box, you got to be prepared for what comes out. So now he says, "Well, where do we stop as believers? As believers, it say this. We don't like it was. You know, I'm not telling you not to do anything. I'm just showing you." Like I said, who stole my gift? I'm showing you how things that God has given man for their good, how they've taken those things and put it to the side and then picked up tradition.
Right.
That totally nullifies what God has done.
We really don't even teach our children.
Right.
Jesus Christ. He replaced.
That's, they don't know.
Santa Claus.
Right. How many times they say, well, this is in reference, or this is why we do this. It has nothing to do with it.
Right.
That's where they talk. I want to sit on Santa Claus' lap. All those things that we just group it in, and it says, well, what's the big deal?
It's sort of like saying, give Christmas gift, the wise man brought gifts.
Right.
That's like saying, well,
all my life, I believe that it was Christ's birth, and it was Christ's death that really set us
off. Right. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
What is
and this is not 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this has nothing, this is not for, you know, a bash on Christmas for you guys. Anybody who wants to celebrate Christmas,
right.
you are under freedom in Christ, which is ironic, to do anything you want to do.
Is that ironic, like the
which it is. It's, and he says this, chapter 10, right. And we talked about Israel coming out of Egypt. He says this, chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. There you go. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. There's the brass serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, what? Flee from idolatry. And what he's saying is, we make excuses for why we get involved in things, but God says, I've always made a way for you to get out, if you want to get out. He says, we always take that verse and we make it all kind of things. He says, I've made a way. If you want to break clean, he says, I've made a way for you to break clean. Remember we were talking about that, Roy? It's like,
yes.
You can, if you want to, you know, if you don't feel like being hostage, he says, I'll show you a way you can get out of it. Become a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not talking just about Christmas. I'm talking about anything that's anti-spiritual.
Right.
Put it that way. Now look at same chapter, look at verse 23. And he's talking about in the Corinthian day, they were actually partaking of idols and trying to serve the Lord. The same thing we kind of do today. They were straddling the fence. And he says, look at verse 21. He said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Look down at verse 29. He says this. You shouldn't eat for conscience sake. And he says, conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Now, this is where we come in. Is, well, I know it doesn't mean anything. I know those days don't mean anything. Right? But, I'm doing it for you, Jerry. I don't want to offend Jerry. So I use my liberty so I could please Jerry. I don't want Jerry to be upset. Which is ironic, isn't it? Because they'll say, what's wrong with you? That you don't celebrate this day. And you say, what's wrong with me? The real question is, what's wrong with you that you do? Is because we, okay, look at this, verse 30. For if I, by grace, be our partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? He says, I realize what Christ has done. So I go to it, and I have the right attitude. I look at it, it's like, I know what the Lord has done, so I'm looking at it the right way. Well, why is that so bad? You know what you say? Isn't that how we reason it out?
Right.
And he says, whether therefore, and this is, he's talking about eating and drinking, but we can use this as whether eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now, that's the thing is, can God get the glory out of whatever we do? Or whatever situation we're in, can we say that I'm doing this to the glory of God and mean it? That'll show you how far away we are from what he, from even our motive. Whether we don't even, not even are we not giving God the glory on it. I can say for myself, honestly, I never even thought about it. Giving God the glory in this situation. Matter of fact, it was a burden. I was taking on the burden of other people's religion. Look at Acts 17. We'll stop in a couple of verses here. Acts 17. When Paul goes to Athens, he said this whole city was given to idolatry. They had idols all over the place. All right, he goes to Athens, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions and found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. You know, and he used that word, he said, you are too superstitious. And you know what that is? That is, You're giving too much reverence to these idols. You're giving them too much power. That's That's what that's what it means. He got all these idols, and he says, you're giving this way too much attention.
Yeah.
All of these. Because you know, he didn't want to leave anyone out. Well, this is the God of this, and this is the God of that, and this is the God of the earth, and this is the God of the wind, and this. They had a whole bunch of them. They want to leave anyone out. So much so, they says, well, this one to the unknown guy. We don't want to miss him. And he says, that's why they did it. They say, well, this is the catch-all. We don't want to offend any God, so this one to the unknown God, in case we miss him. And Paul's like, wow. He says, you're too superstitious. He said, the one you should be fearing, he said, that's the one I want to talk to you about. And he said this. He says, look at verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth life and breath, give to all life and breath and all things. When you say, who stole my gift? He said, this God, he says, I'm talking about this creator of heaven and earth who gave life and breath to all of us. What kind of gift are you going to bring him? What can you bring him?
Prayer.
He said, this is the one I want to talk to you about. And he says, and hath made of one blood all nations for men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he or hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he put him in a manger. And that he what? Raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again. I just threw that in there. And I really don't have a hang up with, but I just want to give you another something to think about. Because when this day is over, God is God. With the little God they did think about, he's gone. But we don't get caught up in that, because now if you're a believer, every day is Christmas, right? Christmas every day. You should be thinking about what he's done every day, right? Not just, and that's the thing, is we treat it like this. We don't look at being saved as a life. We look at it like extracurricular activity. We gonna do it on Easter. We gonna do it on Thanksgiving. We gonna do it on Christmas. We gonna do it whatever days, you know, to set aside for the religion. But the rest of these days, I'm doing my own thing.
Right.
And so the Lord, he said this. The day is coming that they that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. That day is today. That day is now. Paul said this. He said, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and have no confidence in the flesh, and the things that we esteem highly, that we think that we are approaching God. God's saying, I want you all the time. Not just the day that they say.
Not just Sunday.
Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever day. He says, I want you every day that ends with a Y.
And all of
it. And all day.
Holidays too.
Christmas and Easter only Baptist. Well, that's not far from the truth. And the thing is when you look at it and you say, who stole my gift, is this. God has given his best for us to enjoy. To get all the blessings that he has for us. And what we've done is we've exchanged it for things.
We don't know any better, do we?
Well, that's why, you know.
When you study the Word, you still exchange everything for something else. You exchange your love for her love and your children's love and your financial, your working time.
I think you got to put a priority. Talking to the disciples about we have given up all. Well, the thing is that he wasn't telling them to get rid of it, but more or less prioritize it, meaning that he's first in our lives. Everything else that the body needs, you know, we do need those things, but put them in perspective.
Right, and that's the thing is where that's why when Paul went out when he talks to the Colossians and to us, beware. That's why he says beware. You have to watch for this. To make sure that the things that we get involved with don't rob us from the joy that he wants us to have in Christ. So you might look up and then you'll find out that you have no joy in Christ. How many people now, we're going to go through this day and they strapped. They in the stores, elbow to kneecap, bumper to bumper. You think they're thinking about the Lord?
No.
And they're going into debt on top of debt on top of debt. And then you get me something and I don't like it. And you didn't get what you wanted. And then they said, well, it's just a family. I've been in Christmases where, you know, that day, you having a fallout.
Right.
Over this stuff. You're not thinking about the Lord. We not sitting down thanking God for nothing. It's just activity where you look up and you say, wait a minute.
It's
Who stole my gift? Let's talk about the Lord today.
I have to tell what many stories. Christmas, we were at our. We had Christmas, and always.